Slattery Media has commissioned a set of short stories, sports shorts, it goes under the title, essays about remarkable sports people and memorable events. The first was Gideon Haigh's Crossing the Line, which hopefully you did get the opportunity to read. The second is Bradman and Packer, The Deal That Changed Cricket, which is about to hit shelves. And the author who wrote Whitewash to Whitewash, and if you're a connoisseur of ESPN Crick Info, you'll know him well, Dan Brettiggs. Dan, welcome to SEN.
Terrific to be here, Jared.
This is quite the day to have you in, isn't it? Because Bradman and Packer, at the meeting which inspires this book, happened
40 years ago today, almost to the hour. On February 13, 1979, Kerry Packer got up early, took a private jet from Sydney to Adelaide, and then took a car from the airport to Holden Street, Bradman's home in Adelaide, where he lived for so many years after the Second World War, and they shared a cup of tea, and between them worked out how to end the World Series cricket split after 2 years of unprecedented drama in the game.
This, for decades, remained a closely guarded secret because they were assumed, were they not, to be sworn enemies.
Exactly. The public positions of the two were seen to be a long way apart, and certainly Bradman, particularly in terms of the eyes of the cricket establishment, not just in Australia but in England in particular, was seen as the archetype of the traditional views of the game, and that the professionalisation of the game and the changes that were wrought by Packer and World Series cricket were anathema to him. But as it's turned out, through a fair bit of research, they not only did they meet one on one to resolve that split, they also spent quite a bit of time in terms of just their ideas being a little bit more closer together than a lot of people perceived.
So neither ever publicly admitted to this meeting, did they?
No. Well, one of the things that that happens a few years later is, of course, Ray Martin does a television interview with Sir Donald Bradman in 1996, which Packer was involved in negotiating. And Packer gave the impression to a lot of people that that was the first time that he ever met Bradman, when he did travel to Adelaide to negotiate the airing of that interview in return for a telethon, basically, to fund the Bradman Museum in Bowral. Now, Ray Martin was certainly left with the impression that was the first time that Bradman and Packer had ever met, but there was this meeting 17 years before in great secret at a time of a great deal more crisis.
How clear a picture have you been able to put together of what transpired at that meeting?
Well, one thing we know about Packer is that he was a broad strokes kind of negotiator. It was, I need this, this and this. You need that, that and that. It's critical to me that I get these things, and we'll leave it to the lawyers and the management to sort out the details later. And the discussion with Bradman about the basics of World Series cricket, the fact that he wanted to hand over control of the game back to the ACB, provided he got long-term television and marketing rights, was a fairly quick discussion. And then the other side of Packer comes out, which is the absolute lover of sport and the guy who was always very admiring of elite athletes, elite sports people in any field. So as Linton Taylor, who was Kerry Packer's longtime lieutenant, has recalled it, because he was the first person that Packer told about it that, yep, later that same day, they spoke for maybe half an hour about World Series cricket and then spent about an hour or two nattering away about just the game of cricket and what Bradman thought and what Packer thought.
Is it the meeting that changed the course of history in this country?
Absolutely it did, in terms of the fact that right up till that point, there seemed no way that the two parties could be reconciled. There seemed no way that we were going to avoid the World Series cricket split going on for a number of years subsequently. In fact, Peter McFarlane, one of the journalists who broke the story of World Series cricket a couple of years before, had just penned the words of a book about that summer, that he expected this split was going to go on for a number of years, and even as he was writing those words, this meeting was taking place. And really from that point, it is a pivot where you see that Bob Parish and Ray Steele on the ACB side, Linton Taylor on the Kerry Packer PBL 9 side, find a way to come to agreement really quite quickly, but their meeting is the pivot point.
What does it tell you about Bradman? What did you learn about Bradman as you set out to to unearth this?
I think what you learn about Bradman is his essential pragmatism, the fact that he certainly had very fixed views on what he saw as being right for the game and the welfare of the game. He was never a great supporter of full-time professionalism in cricket, saw it as a pastime, not a profession. Of course, not that he was opposed to the earning of money around the game, but not receiving direct compensation for it. But something that does come through is that he certainly wanted to see the game moving forward in such a way and evolving in such a way that it wasn't going to stay in the same place, particularly in terms of the rules, particularly in terms of the advent of one-day cricket. He was very much an advocate of anything to get the game moving forward to maintain spectator interest. So one of the things that you find that he was most opposed to were slow batsmen and slow over rates, things like that, which actually had him a lot closer in thought and in vision for the future of cricket with Kerry Packer and with Linton Taylor, his lieutenant, than a lot of people might have perceived.
So you've used the book at the core of the meeting, and then it spreads. And it spreads to Packer's influence, and the headlines of the day are drawn from the book. Packer was a hands-on man. When he won the Sydney Cup, he got his television station to play him the replay of the Sydney Cup just because. Why wouldn't he? How did he meddle in cricket?
Well, I think one thing that you see, well, there's probably two levels to this. One is that the deal that is struck at the end of the World Series cricket split is an incredibly good deal for Packer and for Nine, and not a great deal for the ACB. The ACB was still getting a lot more money from Packer than it had ever gotten from the ABC, for instance, to broadcast cricket in Australia. But relative to the commercial value of the game entirely, Packer was reaping a great deal of money from television advertising that the ACB / Cricket Australia didn't see for another 15 years after that. So in that sense, he shaped the game very closely. And then later on, you see that almost after that deal, the PBL 9 deal has expired, because it's left to him to be negotiating individual deals with the ACB and Cricket Australia, things like encouragement to the players to leave strike action as absolutely the last resort in the players' dispute in 1997, which he relayed via the then head of sport, Gary Burns, to Steve Waugh and Shane Warne when they were a matter of days away from going on strike. Or subsequently influencing CA in terms of scheduling test matches at home to a Zimbabwe or a Bangladesh or a Sri Lanka, like not the big high rating international teams, where he referred to that sort of cricket as wallpaper, and claimed to Bob Merriman, the former chairman of Cricket Australia, that he lost $4 million when Matthew Hayden made his 380 because the games were played in prime time and no one wanted to watch Australia Zimbabwe. And then another story that's emerged in the research is his attempt to get Mike Hussey to play at the Oval.
Now tell us this story. This is a great story.
Yeah, so it was certainly the case leading into that final test of the 05 Ashes series. Everyone could see that the Australian team was struggling in various ways to cope with England. They had two batsmen in the top six who were really visibly struggling in Matthew Hayden and Damian Martin. Damien Martin will always argue that he'd gotten a lot of rough decisions in that series. There was a view and discussion about who might come in. And Mike Hussey had played very well in the one-day series before that Ashes series and was seen to be close and was playing county cricket at the time. And Bob Merriman, the Cricket Australia chairman, got a bit of a start one day when his phone rang and it was Kerry Packer saying, get effing Hussey in the side, quick. The selectors can't pick a club team. And Merriman, who had been involved for a long time in various roles and knew Packer well and knew the complexities or the level of his influence, made a very carefully worded phone call to James Sutherland to say, please advise the chairman of selectors, Trevor Hones, that the Australian selectors can choose any player who's currently in England. They don't just have to choose from the 17. James Sutherland asks, what do you mean? Just advise Trevor Hones that. A few minutes later, James Sutherland calls Bob Merriman back and says, Bob, we can't pick Mike Hussey. He's already on a plane. And it was true. He and Brad Haddon, the reserve wicketkeeper, were on their way on an Australia A tour of Pakistan. So they'd left England before that Oval Test match and were far away from it. And I actually spoke to Mike Hussey about this this exchange. And, he was, you could see his mind racing, thinking how absolutely at the edge of his nerves he might have been if he was making his debut in that Oval Test.
So Packer was a fearsome figure. That much has been revealed through a series of books. And clearly in cricket, he was that too.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the measure of that really is the extent to which the game was torn apart in those 2 years from 1977 to 1979, all basically in the name of Packer getting what he wanted in terms of television rights. And also that he could see that the genuine money in not just cricket but in sport was in television and the advertising of it and the revenue that could be derived from that. And it was years after that that the ACB and Cricket Australia were able to work out that, no, it's not the gate receipts for people turning up at the ground being the primary source of revenue. It's actually derived from television. And so his ruthlessness is seen in the basically the financial state of the game in those 15 years of the deal that was cut personally with Bradman in 79.
Do you have any clue whether Bradman and Packer had any subsequent contact?
It's clear that apart from the meeting that they had in 1996 around the time of the Ray Martin interview, that Bradman continued to stay very much in touch with Linton Taylor, who was Kerry Packer's lieutenant. Taylor was often at Adelaide for the cricket. Bradman would always be in the SACA committee room watching the tests or one-day matches that were scheduled. And they spoke quite consistently about, as I said before, eradicating slow play, yep, encouraging the advance of aggressive batsmanship, keeping the game moving. And really that left both Taylor and Packer with the strong view that they continued to have Bradman's imprimatur in terms of what they were trying to get the ACB to do.
Yep.
Because Bradman had retired from the board of the ACB following the 79-80 season, which was the first season after the split.
When you were writing it and researching it, it said that history repeats. Is the themes of 40 years ago, could you recognise the themes that still run through cricket now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The question of how much is the game worth to whom and for what reasons, who has influence as a result of that, and who is able to see the direction in which the game is going ahead of the curve. And certainly Packer was able to do that at that time. But what's interesting is that at the other end of his life in 2005, when he's doing his last deal with Cricket Australia for broadcast rights, he, like many other people in broadcasting, didn't see that 2020 cricket was going to be any good. He said numerous times, this is all too quick. Where do I make my effing money? And so to see his relative lack of interest in it, particularly 2020 as a domestic product, is to see the start of the journey to where we are today, where cricket's no longer on Nine. And cricket, in part, is no longer on Nine because Cricket Australia had to divest the rights for 2020 cricket to other networks. First of all, Fox, then Ten, and now Fox and Seven.
It's a brilliant piece of research. I've read it on a plane. I look forward to reading it in the palm of my hand. I'm still not totally sold on reading things electronically. Well done, Dan. It's nothing less than I would have expected from your meticulous research and your very fine writing. So you're absolutely to be commended for it.
Thank you, Jared.
Bradman and Packer, the deal that changed cricket. On shelves later this week, next
Friday,
week.
Friday. February 15.
All right. Good luck with the launch. It's terrific. It's a great piece of cricketing history if you're that way inclined.